Tonight, we've changed the schedule just a little bit. I want to try to finish. I don't know that I will, but it's my intention to finish the three-part series, if it goes that long, on biblical answers for our mental health. And that's what tonight's message is. And we've done these on Wednesday night. The message tonight, though, it needs some more time with it, so I put it on Sunday evening. If you think that these messages have not been so important, I would challenge you to look at the number of listens these messages have received. It's strange that these messages would have had double the listening of other messages. That just lets you know that there are people out there that need help. You know, the church is supposed to be hospitable. It's supposed to be a hospital to take care of people. And I think God has the answers. We started this journey in Proverbs, not because we just wanted to go this direction, but we started with our verse concerning Proverbs chapter 16, where he tells us that if we commit our works unto the Lord, our thoughts would be established. And we jumped off into the mainstream of our thought life and so many problems that people have in those areas. And tonight, we saw last time that we were studying this about the sources of people's loss of their mental health. We looked through the Bible at that. But tonight, I want to give you the answers, okay? That I think the Bible's really clear about some things you can do that will be the answer for any trouble you have. And I call this Biblical Answers for Mental Health. And if you get Luke 24 and with your other hand get 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, I have a lot of verses to turn to. We don't always run through it such as this, but probably need your help with that tonight. In Luke chapter 24 and then 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, now, there are all types of things, problems that we can have in our minds, and a lot of them are sinful problems, and those sins are manifested in different ways, and those issues are manifested different ways, sometimes through fear, sometimes through delusion, sometimes through depression and sorrow and grief, many other things, just lack of control of one's thoughts, a very big issue. And we also covered why I'm not going to re-preach things. And if you're just getting this first message, you need to get the other two, because there are also some bodily reasons for that. But anyway, Luke chapter 24, the Bible says in verse 38, Jesus is talking to his disciples, and I trust you are one of them. The Bible says in Luke 24, 38, and he said unto them, why are ye troubled? And why do thoughts arise in your hearts? Jesus was concerned about the mental health and the thoughts that were in the minds of his disciples. He knew they were troubled. And if you want to know the depth of it, look at verse 37. It says they were terrified. You see that? Terrified. You know, if you ever get terrified, it'll paralyze. You can't do anything. God does not want us as his disciples to be terrified. They were terrified and they were affrighted. And then they thought they were seeing things. I'd say that's a mental health issue. You see that, verse 27? 37? They supposed that they had seen a spirit. They thought they were delusional. They thought they were seeing something that was not there. They thought they had seen a ghost. They thought their mind, and so they're terrified. And Jesus says, why are ye troubled? And why do thoughts arise in your hearts? In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, we find a similar troubling in the minds of God's people in the church of the Thessalonians. And he says in 2 Thessalonians 1, now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, and by our gathering together unto Him, that ye be not soon shaken in mind. Do you see that? He starts off with their mental condition. He could have said many things. He could have talked about their spirit or something else. He talks about their mind. Something has shaken their mind. Be not soon shaken in mind. There's our word again that Jesus said, or be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter as from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand. And what I'm trying to tell you as we start this evening before we pray is that there can be many reasons that you are troubled. There can be many different reasons that you are shaken in mind. The disciples in Luke 24, their circumstance was different from the reasons at the church of the Thessalonians, but the problem was the same. Their mind is shaken and they can't be and do and think and go forward as God wants them to, and God wants to settle them down. He wants to establish their hearts. He wants to establish their thoughts and their minds. He wants to change the way that they're thinking. He wants to change what is troubling them and remove it. So I think Jesus would ask us today. Now, I don't know what Jesus would preach if he had come down here to the pulpit. I know that I ask him, Lord, please, I want to say something you want to say. I tell you what, if there's ever been a day that God needs a mouthpiece, it's today. God, and that's the last thing that old man of God that put his hands on me when I first was filled with the Spirit that time, when I turned over all my life to God, the last thing that old man said to me, I was back from Romania. I made a trip to his house and I drove, and he was way up in years. He's dying. And I went to see him before I got on the airplane, went back to mission field. And I got down and he said one thing. He looked at me and he said, son, God needs a voice. Got all over me. God needs a voice. And he's having a hard time finding a voice, is what he was saying. And what I think, if the voice of God, if the Lord had something to say to us and all this turmoil and whatever's going on and whatever will go on later, I think he would say, why are you troubled? And why do thoughts arise in your heart? The first answer that I want to tell you, and I want you to get Ephesians 4 in one hand and Romans chapter 12 in the other. The first answer, and you may need to write some of these things down. The first thing is you need to change your mind. You need to change your mind. You say, preacher, it's impossible for me to change my mind. You know that's not so. You know that's in the Bible. The Bible says in Acts 28:6 that they changed their minds. It is possible to change your mind. I'll show you that in two other verses here in the New Testament. In Ephesians chapter 3, in the other hand, Romans chapter 12. Ephesians 3 and Romans 12. The Bible says in Ephesians 4. Ephesians 4 and verse number 23. Look at it. Ephesians 4:23 says, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. You have the power to let your mind be renewed, changed. And if your mind is troubled, you can renew it and cause it to go forward. If your mind is terrified, if your mind is affrighted, if your mind is depressed, if your mind is whatever you want to put in the blank, God has the power to renew your mind. Now, how does that happen? Romans chapter 12. You renew your mind in this way. Romans 12 and verse 1, the Bible says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And again, I believe that matches up with Proverbs 16, commit thy works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established. I was preaching, there is no way for you to have good mental health without being totally committed to Jesus Christ. There's just too many things that will bother you. There are too many things that will break you. The first thing we got to do is commit our, look what he said. He says, our bodies. Lord, here's my body. I've met some people that need to give their hormones to God. That's part of your body, right? You chuckle and laugh, that's a bodily thing, right? You know, your body has all types of, and you know what? Your body's not yours. You need to give it to God. Lord, here's my body. Whatever you want to do with it. Now look at the next verse. Watch how this is all interconnected. You know the verses. People preached on them for so many years, but we need to apply the truths regarding to our brains here. He says in verse 2, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. You will never have good health if you're a worldly Christian. If the influences of the world and the social media and the things that are out there are constantly bombarding your mind, it will never be renewed. You will be a casualty. You will be a product of them instead of product of Him. What is in here will be because of them instead of what He's wanting to put. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So God can renew your mind, but you need to cooperate with Him. So the first, now I'm going to show you how to do that in just a second. So the first thing you need to understand is you can change your mind. Your mind can be renewed. Is that what the Bible says? My mind can be renewed. That is a real thing. Don't limit God and say that God can only, you know, help my soul, but He can't help my mind. You know, your mind is in your soul. That's another message, but that's true. So how do I do this, preacher? Okay, now this is a sub point. The first point is change your mind. How do I do this? Number one, stop your thoughts. Stop your thoughts. Go to Luke 12. God has given all of us a will. Get Luke chapter 12, and with your other hand, get Philippians. I am amazed at how many of these things are found in the book of Philippians. If I ever counsel anybody that has issues, I tell them to begin reading the book of Philippians over and over again, because it has so many answers to these things. But look at Luke chapter 12. I could have just either gone to Matthew 6. That's the other companion text. But Luke chapter 12. Now watch this in verse 11. We start in verse 11. And he's talking about the Holy Ghost putting things in your brain. Remember when we mentioned that? He says, take no thought. You see verse 11? When they bring you unto the synagogues and unto magistrates and powers, take ye no thought how or what thing ye shall answer or what ye shall say. Can I tell you what? If they brought me before the court and my life was in danger, I probably would start thinking really quickly about what I was going to say. You tell me something. If they brought you before a judge, are you just going to get up there and not think about anything? Look at the verse. Jesus said this. He said, take ye no thought. Do you know God, if you're saved, God puts in your power, in your will, the control of your thought life. Now, some of you have had that little part broken in you, and you've not taken charge of it, but you have the power to control what you think about, because I don't believe that God would tell us to do something we have no power to do. I tell you what, if I was brought before the Supreme Court because we had church and we weren't supposed to, the nervous laughter there, that could happen. If we're brought before the magistrates because we sing in our congregation, that could happen. And Jesus says, don't even think about it. Don't even think. Because of me, you know what I'm doing? I'm a problem solver, you see. And I'm wanting to figure everything out. You know, listen, you know what some people's mental health problem is? They're trying to figure out stuff you're not supposed to figure out.
That's right. Yep. Yes,
sir. And Jesus said, don't think about it. Stop your thoughts. Now, it's natural. It's natural to try. What am I going to say before the judge? What am I going to do? And Jesus said, take no thought. He said, because the Holy Ghost will give you in that hour what you shall say. In other words, you don't have to think it through. The Holy Ghost, the same God that put thoughts into the mind of Nebuchadnezzar, is the same God that can put thoughts in your brain. So he says, don't think about it. Now look, I'm setting this whole text is setting that stage of our thought life. So let's move from that verse in Luke 12, going down. He says in verse 15, he said unto them, take heed and beware of covetousness. Now, you know where our thought life usually is? It's on what we can grab and what we can get. And no wonder there's so much disappointment because people are so covetous and they can't have what they want to have. Now, you go on down to the text, verse 16. He gives a parable of a rich man. We call him the rich fool. And you know what he says. He says in verse 19, I will say to my soul, he's talking to himself. You ever talk to yourself? You say, well, if you talk to yourself, you're crazy. No, you might be. But you might be very healthy. David communed with his own heart upon his bed. But now watch this guy. Verse 19. So this is his thought life in his own brain. 19. I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. So he's thinking these thoughts in his own heart. See verse 17? Look at verse 17. And he thought within himself. You see that? I'm telling you, if you don't control your thoughts, if you don't change your mind, if you don't stop thinking some things that you think, you can become a fool just like this man. Your life can come very foolish. But what does Jesus say in response to this? He said in verse number 22. Now this is where usually we start the discussion. But the discussion has started well before this. Verse 22. And he said unto his disciples, therefore I say unto you, look at it, take no thought for your life. I don't think you have read any verse in the Bible that's any more difficult than that one. Have you ever met anybody that didn't think about their life? You said, preacher, I got problems that are hard. I got a Bible verse for you that's even harder than the problems you think you're having to overcome. God says this, stop thinking about your life. Am I adding to the scripture? Take no thought for your life. Stop thinking about your life. You say, well, what do I think about? We'll get to that. You know, here's the truth. You can't stop thinking about something. You've got to replace it with something. It's like drug addicts. They can't just quit. They got to put something else in there. It's like stopping listening to bad music. You've got to put good music in there. It's like living for the devil. You can't just stop living for the devil. You got to start living for God. You got to replace it with something. But the first thing you got to do is stop your thoughts. Stop thinking about your life. What a thing. If Jesus came up and said, you know what, you've been thinking about your life a lot. Well, yeah, Lord, that's not what I want you to think about. Take no thought for your life. Keep reading. He doesn't just stop there. He said, take no thought for your life. What ye shall eat. Good night alive. I think about that constantly. Right? I mean, how in the world? I mean, I plan out food. Food is a plan. It's enjoyable. Jesus said, quit thinking about your food. You know, do you know most people that have a weight problem can't quit thinking about food? Well, I know that goes over bad. I'm trying to get somewhere. Do you know the reason we do things is because we think about it? You think about that bag of potato chips long enough and you're going to get it, brother. And you don't just eat one. You know why you don't eat one? Because you think about how wonderful it was. I got to have another one of those. I can still remember dinners I have, and I want to fly around the world right now to go back to the place and order the same thing. Right. You know why? Because I'm a sinner. I think about what I eat. Well, that's good. I tell you what, if I'm not careful tonight, I will preach 3 hours. And I've done it before. There is so much here. Do you know why people are so picky? Because they think about what they eat. Well, that's mushy. Quit thinking about it and put it down your gullet. Well, it looks weird. Well, so do you. Eat it. Have you ever have you ever known people that if the food looks good, they'll eat it? And if it looks unusual to them, they'll stay away from it. It doesn't matter how wonderful it is. If it's unusual and they think about it long enough, well, I'm not going to eat that. Quit thinking about it and just eat it. Take no thought for your life. What you shall eat, keep reading. Neither for the body. How many of you think about your bodies? You know, you can get awful depressed thinking about your body. You know, some people have gotten in very much trouble on both ends. You know, the same people that stress eat have another disorder on the other side, that they're anorexic and they can't quit thinking about their body. They think that they think they're all right, and they keep starving themselves to death because they're consumed with thinking about their body and what they eat. God says, you need to quit thinking about those things. Stop your thoughts about your body. If people thought half as much about God as they do their body, we'd have revival. Amen. We'd have it tonight. People think about their hair and their eyebrows. I sit down in the barber chair and the lady goes, you want me to trim your eyebrows? I don't know. I haven't thought about them all day. I guess. It's that stuff coming out here that bothers me. Right. But we constantly think about things. God doesn't want your mind on that. I got a cough. I think I got it. Well, maybe you do, but if you do, quit thinking about it. Amen. It ain't going to change anything. It's just going to torment you. Amen. Don't think about your, well, I could die. I think that pretty much has happened to everybody that's been born. Some people can't think about their body dying to the point that they are paralyzed and they can't live. Jesus said, quit thinking about your life. Quit thinking about what you eat. Quit thinking about your body. And then he said, quit thinking about what you put on. Well, I know a lot of people that don't think they couldn't have thought about what they put on when you come to church. But verse 23. The life is more than meat and the body is more than raiment. Consider the ravens. For they neither sow nor reap, which neither have storehouse nor barn, and God feedeth them. How much are ye better? How much more are ye better than the fowls? You know, some of us don't have as much sense as a bird. A bird doesn't sit on a tree and say, oh my goodness, what am I going to do? Now, I tell you what, that bird's got a lot of things to be worried about. He can worry about those people who's got those guns that are going to shoot him. He's not even worried about it. He just flies. Winter's coming. Bird doesn't worry about the winter. Well, Mr. Bird, aren't you going to go out there and make some preparation and sow and plant? No, I don't do that. Well, how are you going to live, Mr. Bird? How are your babies going to live? Well, God will have to feed us. Mr. Bird, God doesn't care about you. What does he care about a raven? What does he care about sparrows? I think I saw those in this same text. Did you see there in verse number 6 of Luke 12? Are not 5 sparrows sold for 2 farthings and not one of them is forgotten before God? He said, I even notice when the birds get sold. If God is interested in a sparrow and if God can feed a raven, God can take care of you without you worrying about you. He said, don't think about it. They don't think about it. I want to be smarter than a bird. He says, consider those ravens. He said, verse 25, you know, why do you think these things anyway? Because verse 25 says, and which of you with taking thought can add to his stature one cubit? He said, look, Jesus said, listen, there's no sense in you thinking all these thoughts because you can't do nothing anyway. He said in verse 26, if ye then be not able to do that thing which is least, why take ye thought for the rest? He said, you can't even do the little things. And he said, you know what a little thing is? Adding a cubit to your height. That's about 18 inches. You know how many people that are 5'4" wish to God they were 5'5"? But they can't do anything about it. Some people that are about 6'8" wish they were 6 foot. You know, God says that's a little thing with God. You know why you're as tall as you are? Because God wants you to be that tall. You said, no, my parents were. Well, okay, but God wants you to be that tall. You can't change how tall you are. If you go to the doctor and say, doctor, would you give me a pill? I want to be taller. It won't work. You know why? He can't help you. Well, I'll just get some vitamins. I know, put essential oils. That makes everything happen. I mean, you just rub them on your body, you'll go 3 inches. It don't work. You can't make yourself any taller. You know why? You don't have any ability to do it. And God says the things that you're thinking about are that vain. You can't do anything about them anyway, so stop your thoughts. We're still reading chapter 12. It's 27. Consider the lilies. How they grow, they toil not, they spin not. They're not all worried. And yet I say unto you that Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. If then God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is in the grass, which is today in the field, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, how much more will he clothe you, O ye of little faith? 29, and seek not ye what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink. Look, tell me if I'm out of the wrong context. Neither be ye of doubtful mind. For all these things do the nations of the world seek after, and your Father knoweth that ye have need of these things, but rather seek ye the kingdom of God. He says, you worry about your relationship with God. You worry about spiritual things with God. And let God worry about the rest and quit thinking about it. Stop, you say, I can't stop thinking about it. Let's go to Philippians 3. You can stop thinking about it. One of the most wonderful words in the English language and one of the most wonderful truths in the English language is the word forget. You know how you stop thinking about things? You forget about it. You said, preacher, I can't forget about it. Well, let's read. Philippians chapter 3. Verse 13, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended. Philippians 3:13. But this one thing I do, forgetting. Paul's a bright man. He's an educated man. He's a smart man. His mind works. Now you say, preacher, there are things, there's no way you can forget it. They're in my conscious mind. They may be in your conscious mind, but they don't have to be in your daily thoughts. There's a difference. I know that people cannot get rid totally of what they've seen, heard, experienced in their life. I know those things can be in your conscious mind. I think God can help with that and take it away. But I know sometimes they linger, but that doesn't mean you have to think about it. When he says forgetting, look, I don't think that the Apostle Paul forgot all the people he killed in God's church. I think to the day he died, he remembered that he had a part in Stephen's death. I bet many times Paul would remember how he would go into houses, hailing men and women, and stripping them away from their children, God's people, while the little kids were crying, and he's grabbing the mom and dad, and he's hauling them out to take them to jail, and how he put his His actions and deeds. He was a murderer. Don't you tell me he ever forgot totally the consciousness of the deeds that he did. I believe he knew what he did. There'll only be one day when God wipes away all the tears from our eyes. And we're going to wait for that day when we get in heaven. But there are some things I know they're going to be there. But you know what God says? Forget about it. Forgetting those things which are behind. You say, well, it comes in my mind. Well, when it comes in your mind, forget about it. So you have a choice. Well, you cannot help a thought coming in your mind, but you can help whether you think about it or you forget about it. And I don't believe that would be in the Bible if it was not so. We talked about weird thoughts coming into your brain last time, and it can be all kind of different thoughts. When that thoughts come into your brain, you forget about it. When that experience, when that terrible thing comes, you forget about it. And some people have the most terrible of mental health because they can never forget about something. And they choose to hold on to it for some reason or another. And God says, forget about it. And I'm telling you, you're reading about a man that needed to live that. How could he live knowing that he killed God's people? How would you like to live with that on your conscience every day of your life? That you kill people. People that love God. And you were their murderer. And you were their torturer. He lived with the fact that he made havoc of the church. He tore the churches up. Paul, how do you deal with that in your mind? I forget about it. Praise God. I forget about it. Paul, do you think about what you did with Stephen? Yeah, but I forget about it. You know what this world tries to get you to do? Tries to get you to think about all those things. You know what modern psychology wants to do? Modern psychology wants you to regurgitate that over and over and over and over again till it consumes you. And God says, forget about it. You know another verse in that book says that we're to be simple concerning evil. You know what we don't do? You know, some of us in here have committed some awful sins, haven't we? But you know what? We don't talk about it, do we? You know what the Bible says? We're to be simple about it, right? We're not to, you know, when we have testimonies and somebody talks about how God got them out of sin, well, that's great, and we'll all praise the Lord because we know that He can save, amen, from the guttermost to the uttermost. We know He can do that. But we don't want to sit there and hear about that. We're simple concerning evil. And by the way, evil is not just sinful things. Evil is just bad things in the connotation of the Bible. Because the Bible says God even creates evil. You read that in the Bible? He don't create sin. We're talking about bad things in life. You know, God is the author of a lot of catastrophes in the world. Just ask Pharaoh and his multitude. God brings evil upon people. But you know what? If you've had evil come through your life, be simple about it. Don't let it keep coming over and over and over. Quit thinking about it. You say, I just don't let it consume you. Let the Holy Ghost consume you. Let God consume you. Let heaven consume you. All of us have had evil things come in our life. Quit thinking about it. So, well, I got in my car and I start thinking about it. Turn it off. Say, no, you're not. Start talking to yourself. We're not going to think about that today. Amen. You are spirit, soul, and body. And you got God inside of you saved. And when that thought comes in your brain, say, no, we're not thinking about that today. That help you? It'd help people if they talked to themselves like that about a lot of things. No, we're not doing that. No, we're not going there. Stop your thoughts. Forgetting those things which are behind. If you've had a tragedy in your life, I'm sorry. You're here. You survived. Forget about it. You should. I can't escape it. Well, when it comes in your mind, grab that thought and don't think about it. Verse 14 instead, Philippians 3, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. We're still on the mind. Look at verse 15. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus, there it is, minded. And if in anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. Nevertheless, whereto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule. Look at it. Let us mind the same thing. And the opposite people do, verse 19, look at it, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, who mind earthly things. Quit letting your mind think about earthly things or sinful things or even, you know, we're talking about evil, or even your past sins. Or your past failures. If you're not careful, the devil just kick you to the curb the rest of your life. Just forget about it. You say, oh, preacher, that's easy for you to say. You don't know what I've had to forget. We've all had things we've had to forget. And the Lord Jesus Christ says, take no thought. Stop your thoughts. The second thing under that subpoint, and I'm never going to get finished, is fight your thoughts. Stop your thoughts. Fight your thoughts. You said, preacher, I've tried to stop them. I can't stop them. Well, if you can't stop them, fight them. Romans chapter 7. As you turn into Romans 7, the Bible says in 1 Peter 1:13, gird up the loins of your mind. That's a battlefield term. Get all the weaponry on you. Get ready to go to war. Gird up the loins of your mind. Go to war. The warfare is in your mind. He said in 1 Peter 4:1, he says, as Christ has suffered for us in the flesh, he said, arm yourselves with the same mind. Go to war with those thoughts. Listen, guys, I told you before, just like those thoughts of adultery and those thoughts of lust and those people having those pornographic thoughts and all other types of thoughts we can have, hurting somebody, hurting yourself, all types of sorrows, you've got to fight those thoughts. Go to war with them. Look at Romans chapter 7. Romans chapter 7, he says in verse number 23, but I see another law in my members warring against the law of my mind. There's a battle in his mind. If all you have to do is read this text and you'll know he sounds like a schizophrenic. I'm serious. He says in this chapter, he says, the things that I did, I didn't do them. Well, that sounds like a schizophrenic person to me. It was the other guy that did it. That's what he said. There's two people there. And you know what he's saying? I'm constantly in a fight with him. Well, why don't we recognize the same kind of fight when some lustful thought comes to your head? You got to fight that. So when some thought of sorrow comes in your head, fight that. Or some fear comes in your head, fight that. He said, warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity, the law of sin, which is in my members. Look at, he's almost like screaming it out. Oh, wretched man that I am. Who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Thanks be unto God, which giveth us the victory. You know, that's spoken at a graveside. Victory. You know what I believe this world has for us? I really believe this, church. I believe society is trying to brainwash us into failure. Society does not want people to have the victory. Society wants to keep you a casualty so they can continue to control your life. Society has a vested interest in everything staying broken, including you. We all have problems, but instead of looking at the problem, I want to look at the victory. Instead of being consumed with the issue, I want victory in Jesus. And society wants you to fail. Society glorifies failure. Society glorifies problems and issues and makes heroes out of people that fail. Let me give you an illustration. Here's a little baby that's born and has a birth defect. You know every one of us are defective, right? Here's a little baby that's born, it's got a birth defect. Maybe it's some congenital heart issue. In other words, there's something wrong with the heart when the baby was born. The doctors don't look at that baby and say, well, you know, the baby was born this way and the baby's got this problem and it's just a special problem. And so we'll just talk about the problem and for the rest of its life. No, no, no. You know what they do? They say, we got to go in and fix that problem. They don't glorify the problem. They want to fix the problem. If a baby is born with a club foot, you know they can do surgery on that? They can do therapy on that. They can fix that. So that child doesn't have to worry about it. You know, cleft palate, right? Well, what if we did with that what society does with the rest of the mental issues and people say, well, now don't fight it. Just embrace it. Just embrace your mental problem. Just embrace your defect. Just embrace your issue. It's okay. Just embrace it. We don't embrace cleft palates. We fix them. Why wouldn't we want to fix our minds and fix our hearts and fix our lives? You know this world don't want people to fight their homosexual tendencies, which is mental disease. You don't want them to fight that. Embrace it. They don't want them to fight their pornography. They don't want them to fight their transgender insanity. They don't want them to fight their depression. They want them to embrace it. And I'm telling you, God wants you to give people victory over the problem. And you can fight, but here's the problem. When you fight those imaginations, he says, second, write it down, 2 Corinthians 10:5. You've got to know that verse, 2 Corinthians 10:5. Casting down imaginations and every thought. Here comes a thought. Grab it out of your head and throw it down. I'm not going to think that. Probably you need to get rid of some of the sources that are causing you to think that. But cast it down and bring that thought to the obedience of Christ. I'm not going to think this way. I'm not going to think that everybody hates me and nobody likes me. I told you before, nobody cares. The things that drive us insane and bring fears in our heart, they're not even real. Casting down imagination. We have such a problem with our imagination. You need to fight those imaginations. You know, that Bible talks about imagining evil in your heart towards your brother. That Bible over and over talks about imagining things that are evil and they're not real, but you imagine that they're real. You've got to fight that. If you think somebody has got a grudge against you, you need to fight that and don't think that way. You say, well, what if they do? Well, so what if they do? Quit thinking about it. Stop your thoughts. Well, what if a tornado comes in and blows down the house I just borrowed $200,000 to build? Well, what if he don't? Get insurance. You know, there's some people, I'm telling you, they cannot stop imagining things. And when those imaginations come in, you got to stop it and you got to throw it down. Whether it's delusional, whatever it is, say, no, that's not real. You know, there's a lot of people who need to say, this is not real. What I'm thinking is not real. Man, and I've seen so much in church. Look, the Holy Ghost had me preach something one time. Let me see if I can tell it without giving away the, because we have people that watch these things or listen to these things. And they're still living. Then I got up one morning and I preached one morning about a problem, just an illustrative problem that could happen in a church nursery. And I preached the fire of it, out of it, about this woman got upset and this. And you know what? That just happened. And I had no idea. I had no idea. And the lady in the church imagined, listen to me, that I figured all that out, that I found out all about all that, and I was reaming her out right in front of her face, and I had no clue what she was even talking about. And she come up to me after church and said, da, 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 da. I said, whoa, whoa, what's going on? You know what's going on. I don't know what's going on. You know what you said? Well, yeah. And you know what happened? I said, I don't know what happened. Oh, yes, you did. You imagine that. I didn't know that. It was really God trying to talk to you. There's stuff God knows that I don't know. There's stuff I say preaching and people I've seen in the past and they just knew. You know what that book says? You need to write this down about your imaginations. If any man thinketh he knoweth anything, he knoweth nothing. Well, I just know. No, you don't. Well, I just know I got this problem. No, you don't. Well, I just know so-and-so's got a problem. No, you don't. Well, I know this is how it's going to end up. And this is how this is going to happen next year, next week. We've had people. That's 1 Corinthians 8, chapter 8, verse 2. If any man think he knows anything, he knows nothing. We've had people that are hours away from here, that don't even live here, that have left answer machine, left messages on my answer machine, warning me as a pastor that we're fixing to have food shortages and I need to go buy bread for all you people so you don't starve to death. That's real. I can play the messages for you. You know what God says? Stop your thoughts. You don't know what's going on. You're not that smart. We think we have so much figured out and we are so destitute of answers. Why would we think we have anything figured out? You got to fight. But you know, it's not easy to fight, is it? To fight your thoughts. People don't want to fight. They want to cope. They don't want to fight. They want an easy answer. And church, I wish I had an easy answer to things. You know, there's not any easy answers for your life. It all involves a battle. There's not any easy answers for your family. It all involves a battle. And I thought about that, and I thought about the mind, and of course, immediately the easy way out is to just go take a pill. Now, I've said this before, and I'm going to say it again, because I don't want anybody to sue me. I ain't telling you to stop your meds. No, I'm not going to do that. And there could be a reason for somebody to have that, and I think it would be temporary if it is, and I don't get into that. But what I'm telling you right now is that too many times it's easier to take an easy way out that doesn't deal with the problem but just deals with the symptoms. You know what we do when we get a fever? We take an Advil. And I do that too. You know, when we were in Romania, the last thing you wanted to do was go to a doctor. When I went to Romania, we took several books with us. One of them was Where There Is No Doctor. I took several other books with us. You know what we started doing? We started doctoring our own kids. You know what I learned? And then when we came back, well, we even talked to pediatricians about it, and they confirmed it. You know, years and years ago, you know, when a child, doesn't matter what they got sick with, they just write them an antibiotic. You know, there are so many things that antibiotics don't fix. But back in the day, oh, they're sick, here's the antibiotic. And now it's antibiotic and steroid shot, right? I mean, that's the thing for today. And most of all, that just treats symptoms. You know there's a reason your body gets a fever? It's trying to, listen, it's trying to fight something. You know how many times, and look, I know there's a line there. And we had to learn where that line was. But there's a lot of times our children and we ourselves, we had fevers and we couldn't go to a doctor. And we prayed and we let that fever run its course. And a lot of times that fever, at the end of the day, the body would take care of the problem, whatever the problem was. And the immune system could build itself back up. But you know, that's uncomfortable to have to fight that way. That's the long way to actually build my immune system. And some people have been so going the easy way so long, they don't have any immunity for anything. Their body can't fight off anything because it's been so long since it's fought. It's been so long since some Christians have fought their sins and their thought life.
And so they want an easy way out. And that may deal with a symptom, but that won't get to the root of the problem. I can say the same thing with, you know, I don't know why I'm on this kick. I guess because it just matches and I love food so much. The same thing is with weight loss. How many of you remember Dexatrim? Does that still exist? Boy, did I just date myself? Nobody raised their hand. You know what Dexatrim is? Yeah, okay. Back in the 80s, they'd have a weight loss pill. And you know what? You don't have to fight. You don't even have to go through the withdrawals of food. Just go take this pill. And then later on, they got all these other kind of pills. Right? Just pop a pill. Oh, don't worry about the exercise. Hey, man, you can take this pill. And you don't even have to worry about it. Eat what you want to eat. Just take the pill. And you know what? It worked pretty good. I remember playing basketball. I guess I was about 17 years old. I took some old pill because I wanted to jump high. I wanted to grab the rim, you know. And so I said, man, I got to lose about 10 pounds or so. And so I started popping those pills, man. You can just buy them over the counter. I lost weight. Wow, this is great. You know what happened when I quit taking those pills? I swole up like a toad. You know why? Because it didn't help me. It hurt me. It didn't teach me how to fight my problem. It gave me a quick out. Isn't that right? For some people, it's hard to lose weight. It's a fight. And that's why some people never win the battle. Because it's hard. Well, some of your thought life's the same way. Let me give you another one. Child training. Have we ever seen in the history of the world so many children that have ADD and ADHD and whatever other D there is?
Yep.
They're all over the place. And you know what they say? Give them a pill. Man, it's getting quiet right there. Now, look. Whatever you want to do with that, do with it. I'm not your doctor, but I'm a preacher. I'm telling you this. You know what's really hard? It's really hard to discipline a child consistently and faithfully, day in and day out, and work with that child and work with his mind and discipline his life. It's hard work. It's much easier to say, take this. And I'm telling you, that's the way it is with every problem. We live in a society that doesn't want to fight. I'm not saying that there are not serious things that come through people's minds, but can we learn to fight it? Fighting, warring against the law of my mind.
So let's stop our thoughts. I've got to finish. I will not get through. Change your mind, stop your thoughts, fight your thoughts, and then the other reverse. Occupy your mind with, let's see, 4 things real quick. Number one, now we won't turn to it, we've already turned to it before. Isaiah 26:3. So it's one thing for you to stop your thoughts and fight your thoughts. It's another thing for you to make yourself think what you ought to think. And it's not just one, it's both. And by the way, this will help you just in your Christian life. Guys, we have never had a time in the church probably where we need more peace from God. Isaiah 26:3, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusteth in thee. How much do you think about God? How much do you occupy your mind with God? Think about him up on his throne. Do you think about him? When you go to work, are you thinking about him? Lord, I hope your day is going well. Or are you just thinking about your day? Just talk to God. Think about God. Have your mind on God. Instead of the news, instead of your problem, instead of what you're trying to accomplish, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. Think about his attributes. Get your page and write down everything you know about God and everything the Bible says about God and think about that. Think about how strong he is. Think about how powerful he is in your life. Think about how much he loves you.
Think about how holy He is and how right He is. Occupy your mind with God. You know what the Bible says in Matthew 22:37? That we're to love the Lord our God with our mind. Do you love God with your mind? Do you think wonderful thoughts about Him? Do you pause in the day and say, God, You're just the greatest. Just been thinking about You today. You've got to occupy your mind with God. We need to quit loving other things and love God with our mind. People are in love with animals. People are in love with their self. People are in love with the environment. People are in love with other people. But very few people are in love with God. And if you'll be in love with God, it'll help your mind, sir. It'll help your mind, ma'am. If He's the fairest of 10,000 to your soul. He said in Malachi 3:16, God said, I told a book of remembrance to be written. I want to write about them that feared the Lord. Listen, and those that thought upon His name. Do you think upon God and His name? Psalm 10:4 says, the wicked through the pride of his own countenance will not seek after God. God is not in all his thoughts. You don't think about it. How much have you thought about Him? If you just think about Him when it comes to church, you got a problem. Hebrews 12. Consider Him. Consider. Consider Him that endured such contradiction of sinners. Listen, church, listen. Put your mind on Him. Consider Jesus. Look unto Jesus. Consider what He did for you. Consider how He suffered for you. Consider Him who endured such contradiction of sinners against Himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. We faint in our minds because we're not thinking about Jesus. You're thinking about something else. Take that thought. So we're not thinking about that today. We're thinking about how Jesus took that cross and went up Calvary's hill. Amen. And you shouldn't have to take a trip over to the Holy Land to do that, but I'm glad I did. I sat over there in the Garden of Gethsemane, amen, while the sun was going down, and I was looking at that eastern gate, and all I was doing was thinking about how Jesus prayed where I was, and how He went over there into that city, and how He was crucified outside the gate, and I was looking at that eastern gate, and I was thinking about, yeah, Lord, and You're going to come back one day, and You're going to put Your feet on this mountain, and this mountain's going to rip in two, and You're going to walk right across that valley, and go right through that gate, and I tell you what, when I was thinking about that, I wasn't depressed at all. And I wasn't afraid. And I didn't even know where I was. It was getting dark and I'm in Israel, man. And I'm in a field out there. I wasn't worried about my car. I was thinking about God. Went over there to Gordon's Calvary and got on my face. Just started thinking about Calvary. Started going through my mind about the crucifixion and all those sayings of Jesus. Tried to visualize in my mind the blood that streamed down that old rugged cross. He said, consider Him, lest ye be wearied and faint in your mind. You know what He said about Abraham? You know what Abraham filled his mind with? He filled his mind with a better country. Listen, listen. God said if he had been mindful of the country that he left, he would have had opportunity to return. You know what guided the life of Abraham? He didn't think about where he left. He thought about where he was going. He was looking for a city that had foundations, whose builder and maker was God. He was looking for a better city and a better country and a better land. And I've got a better country than this. And I've got a better place to live than this. And I've got a home that's just beyond the river. And I'm headed that way. And if my mind will be filled with that country instead of this one. Oh, preacher, what are we going to do? It's just awful. Yes, but I'm a citizen of another land. And oh, won't it be wonderful there? having no burdens to bear, gloriously singing, with harp bells all ringing. Oh, won't it be wonderful there? Is your mind full of this country, or is your mind full of a better country? Jesus said, let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. Listen, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, and I go to prepare a place for you. If I go and prepare a place for you, I'll receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. You know, if you'll occupy your mind with that, it'll help you on this journey of life.
If you'll do, if you'll occupy your mind with what Philippians said, finally, brethren, I'm finished. Finally, brethren, he says, this is what you need to occupy your mind with. Whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. That's Philippians 4:8. Change your mind.